This week is Parshas Shemini. Start with a Ksav Sofer that we mentioned in the past. Pasuk Zayin. Vayemer Moshe l'Aron. Moshe says to Aron, Karavach ha-Mizbeach. Come close to the Mizbeach. Va'aseyes chatoscha v'soy l'secha. And bring your chatos and your eilo v'chaper badcha v'ado'om. Be mechaper for you and for the people. Va'aseyes korban ha'om. V'chaper ba'ado'om kashetzi v'ashem. Says Rashi, why did Moshe tell Aaron, Karav el HaMizbeach, come close to the Mizbeach? Aaron was standing so far away that Moshe to tell him, come close. Says Rashi, Shoya your Aaron Boish. Aaron was embarrassed, V'yorei L'gashis, and afraid to come close. Amolei Moshe. Moshe said to Aaron, Lama ata Boish? Why are you embarrassed? L'kach nefcharta, for this you were chosen. Okay. So Moshe, Aaron was afraid to come to do the Avodah, embarrassed. Moshe had to encourage Aaron to come. Says Iksav Sofer, the Ramban brings down this pasuk. Nidme la'aroin, it appeared to Aaron, karnei mizbeach ki karnei ha'egel. Aaron was in some way responsible for the egel. Aaron, when he saw the corners of the mizbeach, corners are keren, horns, it appeared to him like the horns of the egel. Aaron saw the karnei ha'egel. V'nisra la'achayev, and he jumped back. Aaron was afraid. Uboy, she was embarrassed of the chet ha'egel. Aaron was embarrassed because of the Chayt HaEgel to come to do the Avodah. Ksav Sofer is bothered by the Rashi. Rashi says Aaron was afraid, he was embarrassed, L'kach Nefcharto. What happened? What was the conversation that took place between Moshe and Aaron? Says the Ksav Sofer, Aaron was embarrassed because of the Chayt HaEgel. Because he was involved with the Chayt HaEgel. Moshe told Aaron just the opposite, Fakert. The Gemara says in Sanhedrin, that any manning of a Klal Yisrael that doesn't have a kupa shel shrotzim toilu lo miachayrov, doesn't have a basket literally of shrotzim hanging behind him, a miskayming. His leadership, his malchus won't be mekayim. Shol hamelech lo miskayim. Shol was not mekayim, did not last long as king, while David was miskayim. David had kupa shel shrotzim. David came from Shevet Yehuda, the whole mice of Yehuda and Tamar. David had a skeleton in the closet, like they say. A leader has a skeleton in the closet, he lasts as a leader. Why? Because he won't become a balgaiva. Somebody who knows that he has an imperfection behind him, a scar behind him, can't become a balgaiva. But somebody who doesn't have any mum behind him, there's no skeletons in the closet, there's danger of becoming a balgaiva. Aaron was embarrassed to go ahead and do the Avodah. He saw the Karnei HaEgel. He didn't want to go and do the Avodah. He was afraid. Moshe told him, Fakert, Lama ata boish? Why are you embarrassed? L'kach nefcharta. Because you have the busha, that's why you were chosen. Since you have the busha, and you have this kupa shel shrotzim, you have this skeleton in the closet hanging behind you, that's a reason why you should do the Avodah, why you are zoich to do the Avodah, because that will prevent you from becoming a balgaiva and from thinking it's you who did it all. But fakert, you realize that you're here to serve Hashem, karavach ha-mizbeach. Why are you embarrassed? The fact that you have busha is good for the reason why you were chosen to do the Avodah. In a similar vein, it says a little bit later in the parasha, Nadav and Avihu brought an Esh Zara, a strange fire before Hashem. Perik Yud, Pasuk Aleph. Aleph Beis, the whole parasha, not in front of you. Perik Yud, Pasuk Aleph, and on. They brought a strange fire before Hashem. Svarim bring down the idea of a strange fire. When a person has a fire burning inside of him, even to do a mitzvah, a person has to be very careful where the fire comes from. Is it coming from Gaiva? Is it coming from Kedusha? Where's the fire coming from? They say over there, Rabbi Chaim Volozhin wanted to establish the yeshiva in Volozhin. He went to his Rebbe, the Gra, and he asked the Gra what he thought about the idea of starting the Volozhin yeshiva, starting the yeshiva. Up until that time, there were no yeshivas like we have today. Rabbi Chaim Volozhin was the first one who had the concept of starting yeshiva. He went to the Gra, and he asked the Gra, who was his Rebbe, should he start the yeshiva? And the Gra told him no. The Gra told him no. And Chaim Volozhin was very, very disappointed. A year later, he said, I'm going to try to ask the Gra again. He came back to the Gra a year later, and he asked the Gra if it's a good idea to start the yeshiva, to start the Volozhin yeshiva. And this time the Gra said yes. The Gra said it's a good idea. So later, Chaim Volozhin asked the Gra, what happened? Last year, when I came to you with the exact same question, you told me no. And this year, I came to you with the exact same question, you told me yes. And the Gra said, because last year when he came to me, with a burning fire in you. You were burning, ready to go. There was nothing that was going to stop you. You were ready to go. And I saw that the Yetzer Hara was not trying to stop you. The way you came to me with such a brand and such excitement, the Yetzer Hara had no shlita over you at all. The Yetzer Hara didn't have his hand in this idea. And if the Yetzer Hara isn't involved, you should know the Yetzer Hara is not trying to stop you. And he wants it to go through. That's not a good idea. Because it might be coming from the Yetzer Hara himself, and that's why he's not trying to stop you, and so on. It's not good when he come with that bren, but this year when he came to me, you were more humble about it, and he asked humbly, and he came without that bren that you had last year, that excitement that you had last year. And I saw the Yetzer Hara was already toying with the idea, maybe yes, maybe no, he was trying to stop you, and I saw the Yetzer Hara was trying to stop you, now already he can go ahead and build the yeshiva. But when a person comes with a bread and he has an excitement, the person has to step back and think for a minute, where is it coming from? Is it the right thing to do? Is it the wrong thing to do? Is there any guy involved? Does it come from the right side, from the Kedusha? Does it come from the Yetzer Hara? A person always has to step back and think, where is it coming from? L'kach nevcharta. A person who realizes where it's coming from, a person who has the busha and knows it's not because of the gaiva, l'kach nevcharta, for that you show. Says, a fire came out from before Hashem and consumed and punished Nadav and Avihu. We find many times that tzaddikim are punished right away. Kodesh Baruch Hu is medaktik and tzaddikim kechut asayro. Hashem is medaktik with tzaddikim like a hair, the breath of a hair, and Hashem punishes the tzaddikim right away. In general, we find many times tzaddikim are punished in this world while the Rishayim have it good. Sadik v'raloi, Rosh v'toivloi, and that's the age-old question that everybody's bothered by. How could it be that the tzaddik suffers at times in this world, or the Rosh v'toivloi, the Rosh enjoys, the Rosh has it good in this world? And the Ben Ishchai says over a beautiful Moshe. The king had two avodim, two servants. One servant he loved very much. The other one didn't get along with him too well. But still, he was a faithful servant. And the king one day announces that whoever goes and travels through the forest and brings him back whatever he needs from the other side of the forest, the king will reward him and he'll be dressed in royal garments and paraded through the streets wearing the big day malchus. The king also wanted to make sure that his servants did not disobey him. And he announced that whoever disobeys him and does whatever is not supposed to be done will be dressed in rags and shmatas and paraded through the street and paraded wearing shmatas. The two servants of the king, both of them did what the king wanted, but they also disobeyed the king. So both of them, the servant that the king loved and the servant the king did not like, both deserved the reward and both deserved the punishment. They both deserved to be paraded in Big Day Malchus, and they both deserve to be paraded around wearing shmatas and rings. One day the king is traveling through the forest with his own entourage and his whole the army and the people and all the carriages, and he stops in the middle of the forest and he says to the servant that he loves, "Hey, put on the shmatas right now. You deserve a punishment for the sin that you did for disobeying me. Put on the rings right now in front of everybody." And he calls over the servant that he doesn't like, and he gives him the big day malchus, the royal clothing. He says, "Put on the royal clothing right now. I'm giving you a reward for all the good that you did." And the servant who loved the king, and the king loved him, couldn't understand why now is he doing just the opposite. He's making him put on the shmatas, put on the rings, and he's giving the servant, the other one, the royal clothing to put on. But they follow the king's orders. And the good servant puts on the king's royal clothes, the king shmatas, and the other servant puts on the royal clothing. They come into the city. As soon as they enter the city, the king says, "Okay, now you switch." He He tells the servant that he likes, take off the shmatis and give it to the other one. He tells the servant, take off the royal clothing and give it to the servant that I like. And now he's wearing the royal clothing and he's wearing the shmatis. And now everybody understood the chochmah of the king. The king had to punish both and he had to reward both. But what did he do? He punished the servant that he loved in the forest. It wasn't in front of everybody. It was just the people that were there. And that's when he rewarded the other one. And when he came into the city in front of everybody, there he had them switch and he rewarded the servant that he liked and punished the other one. Says the Ben Ishchai. No, the Nimshah doesn't need much of an explanation. This Olam Haza, Olam Haba. This world's like the forest. Everybody, Einish, is not a person who doesn't sin. Everybody does Averis. Kadosh Baruch Hu says, I have a cheshbon. I have to pay people back for the Averis that they did, and I have to reward them for the mitzvahs that they did. For the tzaddik, Hashem says, you know what? Sometimes put the shmatis on in this world. Put the rags on in this world. Put on the shmatis. But when it comes to Olam Haba, Hashem says, okay, you already wore your shmatis. Switch. Now put on the royal malchus. Now put on the schar. Masha'en kein, the rasha, Hashem does just the opposite. Hashem says to the rasha, I will reward you. Wear your big day malchus. But wear the big day malchus in this world. Wear the big day malchus down here. And when it comes, Hashem tells the Rosh, now it's time to take off the big day malchus, and it's time to put on the shmatis. So when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is medatek with tzaddikim, and punishes a tzaddik in this world, it's not punishment fakat. It's only being done in order to bring the ultimate schar to the tzaddikim where they really deserve the schar in an Olam Haba. The very end of the parasha, the pasuk says, Perek Yud Aleph Membeis, v'skadishtem v'yisem kidoshim. It seems to be a double lashon. It should be kodesh, and it should be kodesh. Ki ani pasuk membeis memdal. Sorry. Ki ani Hashem alakeichem v'hiskadishtem v'yisem kidoshim. What's the double lashon? You should be holy, and you should be holy. Again, the Ben Ishchai is over a very nice mashal, and he says it was once a tzaddik chassid, and he had an only child, and he raised his only child to be an elachid on the proper path. And the son was growing up to be a tzaddik just like his father. It comes one day, and some robbers come into the town, and they kidnap the son. They kidnap the tzaddik's son, and they take him far away. And they take him to a faraway place, and they put him with the worst type of people, the worst kind of environment, and they leave him there. And the tzaddik, the father, is trying hard to find out what happened to his son. And he doesn't leave a stone unturned, and he searches, and finally, after a year or two, he finds out where his son is, and he decides to travel and bring his son back home. And he's worried the whole time. This son is in such a place. What must have happened to him over the years that he was away? And the father travels, and he finally meets with his son. And when he sees his son, and he sees he didn't change too much. He sees he wasn't influenced by the crowd that he was with, by the environment that he was in. He still looks like a Yid. He still talks like a Yid. The father is very happy and his simcha is great. But then after a while he realizes that it's true that his son might not have learned from the bad ways, but he's still not the same that he was. All the good milas that he had, all the good midas that he had, that he lost. The extra, the good that he had, that he lost. He might not have picked up the bad things, the negative, but the positive milas that he had lost, influenced by his environment. Says the Ben Ishchai, v'iskadishtem v'yisem kedoshim. This kadishen kedusha is a lashon havdalah, a lashon of separating. What's a lashon kedushin? The isha is now separate. She's only mutter to her husband, not mutter to anybody else. When you make something heptish, what does it mean? You're separating it from the world. It's not mutter for anybody to use. It's also bahano. This kadishen is a lashon of afrosha. This separating from the world, not becoming tamei, not falling into the influence of the environment of the world. When the yidden were Mitzrayim was full of tumah. Mitzrayim was full of znus, full of kishuf. Mitzrayim was aviyah vayis ha-tumah. Yet, Klal Yisrael stood out. Shoshinu ha-shimom, they didn't change their names. Shoshinu ha-shum, didn't change their language. Mabusham, didn't change their clothing. The pasuk tells us, Shiloh mispas divrei l'mati don, she was the only one that was mezana. Everybody else, the yichus was pure. And that's what we find later on in Parshas Bamidbar, when the Torah lists off the Yichus of Bnei Yisrael, Hashem puts a Hey and a Yud, the letters of Hashem's name around every Shevet, to say Eidos that every Shevet, the Yichus was pure 100%, there was no Arayis at all. So Klal Yisrael was in Mitzrayim. V'skadishtem, In a way, we remain separate. We didn't fall under the influence of Mitzrayim. But it's not enough for Yisim Kedoshim. We have to reach higher heights. We have to strive to higher heights. We come from the Ovois. We come from Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. We have to reach to be higher. It's not enough just to hold back and not be influenced by the Beard. But the Yisim Kedoshim, besides the separating from the Beard, from the Tumah, we have to work on ourselves to become Kaddish and Tohar, the Yisim Kedoshim. The last Pasuk, I said this over many times, L'havdil bein HaTomei, Pasuk Mem Zayin, L'havdil bein HaTomei o bein HaTohar, o bein HaChaya ne'echeles, o bein HaChaya sh'loisi yochel. The Pasuk says, Zois HaTohar, to separate between Tumah and Taira, between the behemoth that's Tomei, the behemoth that's Tohar, and the Chaya that you're allowed to eat, and the Chaya that you're not allowed to eat. And famous word from the Gra, the Pasuk seems to be not in order. The beginning of the Pasuk says, L'havdil bein HaTomei o bein HaTohar. Tomei is mentioned first, between the Tomei and the Tohar. The end of the Pasuk is in reverse. Uvein achaya ne'echeles, and between the chaya that you're allowed to eat, which is the one that's Tohar, uvein achaya shelo yisiyachel, and the chaya that you're not allowed to eat is the one that's Tomei. The Reisha mentions Tomei and then Tohar. The Sefer, the end of the Pasuk, is first achaya ne'echeles, the Tohar, and then the Tomei. Famous part from the Gra, the Gemara we had in Yuma, Daf Pei, Beizim and Beiz. The Gemara brings down that an Isha's mulberis, and she smells food on Yom Kippur, just meat on Yom Kippur, and she has a desire to eat. So what do? We whisper in her ear, today's Yom Kippur. If we calm her down, fine. If not, we'll give it a taste a little bit. If not, she can eat as much as she needs in order to feel better. And the Gemara brings down, there were two such stories. There was one lady who was mulberis in Yom Kippur, and she smelled meat, she had a taiva to eat. So they whispered in her ear, today's Yom Kippur, and the baby calmed down, and that baby was Rabbi Yochanan. That baby was Rabbi Yochanan. There was another Isha Mulberis on Yom Kippur, who smelled meat and had a desire to eat. They whispered in her ear, today's Yom Kippur, and it didn't calm her down, and she had to eat. And that child was a Shabtai Oitzah Peira. Shabtai, the one who gathered the fruits, and he caused inflation, the prices to rise, the Aniyim didn't have food to eat. The Gemara calls him a Rasha, who was known as Shabtai Oitzah Peiru. So the one who did not eat on Yom Kippur, her child, was Rabbi Yochanan. The one who ate on Yom Kippur, her child, was Shabtai Oitzah Peiru. Says the Gra, the Pasuk is hinting to this idea. L'havdil bein HaTomei uvein HaTohar. To separate between the child that's Tomei and the child that's Tohar. You know, which child is Tomei? You know which one is Tohar? Uvein HaChaya HaNeecheles. Chaya is also Yeledes. A lady who gives birth is called a Chaya. If the Chaya, if the mother of the child, the Yeledes, Neecheles, if she ate, then the child is the first one mentioned in the Pasuk. It's the Tomei. Uvein HaChaya SheLoisei Yochel. But the Yeledes who did not eat, if the mother did not have to eat Yom Kippur, then the child is the Tohar. So the Pasuk fits in very nicely. L'havdil bein HaTomei uvein HaTohar. You know which one is Tomei? The Chaya Ne'echeles, the mother who ate on Yom Kippur. You know which one is Tohar? The Chaya who didn't eat. The Marsha in that Gemara says something very interesting. Says the Marsha, Yom Kippur we're not allowed to eat, but we're allowed to smell. You're allowed to smell in Yom Kippur. We're not allowed to eat. Why? Because eating is for the guf. Eating is a hana of the guf. Yom Kippur, we have Yisurim, a kapara, for the guf, we don't eat. Smell is really a hana for the neshama. Smelling is hana for the neshama. It's a hana, you can't hold in your hand, you can't physically hold smell. It's a hana that the neshama has. Yom Kippur is a day of the neshama. It's not a day for the guf, it's a day for the neshama. Since it's a day of the neshama, smelling is allowed, because smelling is sort of the ruchnius of the neshama. Rabbi Yochanan, whose mother smelled the meat, and Rabbi Yochanan's mother did not have to eat, he was satisfied with the smell. Because he had a haicha neshama. His neshama was able to have anof and the smell on Yom Kippur. Just like the guf has anof from food the whole year round, his neshama had anof from the smell on Yom Kippur. But Shabtai Tzapeira, who was a Rasha, he wasn't satisfied with the hanof, the neshama, but he had to have physical anof. His mother had to actually go ahead and to eat. But smell is a ruchni yistika hanof, and that satisfied the tzaddik Rabbi Yochanan. This week is Parshas Parah, the third of the four Parshiyos. And the Mishnah Megillah, Perakimu Mishnah Da'alad, the Mishnah says, B'shulishis Parah Adumah. On the third Shabbos, we learn the Parsha Parah Adumah, B'reviyis. On the fourth Shabbos, HaChodesh HaZelachem. We learn Parshas HaChodesh. The Yerushalmi asks, B'dinhu shekodam Pashas HaChodesh. Really, Pashas HaChodesh should be first, and then we should delay in Pashas Parah. Why? Because Aleph Nisan is Rosh Chodesh. The Mishkan was put up first Rosh Chodesh. And on Beis Nisan, they first burnt the Parah Aduma, and they were Matahar using the Parah Aduma. So which came first? Rosh Chodesh Nisan. And only on Beis Nisan did they go ahead and burn the Parah Aduma. So why is Pashas Parah first? It says, Yerushalmi Shehi Taharason Shal Yisrael. Because Parah, Pashas Parah, is being Matahar Chal Yisrael. And before we come to Chodesh Nisan, we are Matahar ourselves first. And today, when we don't have the Parah Aduma, by reading the Parsha, it's as if we want Matahar ourselves. The Taharos and Shal Yisrael, therefore the Parah Aduma comes first. Parah Aduma is a Chayk. Parah Aduma is one of the Chayk. We don't understand the reason why. One of the reasons Parah Aduma is a Chayk is because Parah Aduma is Matahar as a Tameim, or Matameh as a Tahayim. The Parah Aduma, the Kayin, who's Isaac with the Parah Aduma, and he spritzes the Mei Parah on a person's Tamei, that Kayin becomes Tamei. But when the ashes of the Parah Aduma land on the person's Tamei, that person becomes Tahar. It's a Chayk. That which is Matahar, the person's Tamei, is Matamei, the person's Tahar. It's a Chayk. It's far more bring down the idea that Matahar is a Tameim, Matamei is a Tahayim. To teach us that sometimes a person has to, in a way, lower himself and sort of bring the tummy himself even to help somebody else out. Even though a person knows that by his being Isaac with the Parah Aduma, he'll end up lowering himself, he'll end up becoming tummy. But since it's in order to help somebody else, mitara somebody else, a person has to do so. A person can't sit and say, I can't lower myself, I can't help somebody out, I can't do the chesed, or whatever cheshbon he has, a person has to be willing to lower himself sometimes in order to help somebody else. Sometimes there's an inyan of being metame esat tahayrim to be metayar esat tameim. They say over Maisa, the Bach was nifter, the Bach came up to Shemaim. The original would say over this Maisa, the Bach came up to Shemaim. The Bach came and he had zero averis, clean. The Bach was clean without any averis. And therefore the Bach was going to go straight to Gan Eden. It seems, however the thing works, that if a tzaddik passes by Gehenim, he could save some of the neshamas in Gehenim. The koyach of a tzaddik, when he passes by Gehenim, he could save the neshamas in Gehenim. And the Bach wanted to go straight to Gan Eden without passing by Gehenim at all. The neshamas in Gehenim complained, it's not fair. A tzaddik at the Bach doesn't come every day. A tzaddik like the Bach came, he has no averis. Let him pass by Gehenim and save some of us. The Makatre comes running, the Satan comes running, and he says, there's one taina on the Bach. One time, the Bach was standing in the marketplace, and it was a wagon that had a shor and a chamor attached to it. It had a donkey and an ox attached to it, kalayim. And the wagon was standing still in the marketplace, and the Bach was standing nearby. The Bach sneezed loud, and from the sneeze, the horse, the ox and the donkey took off with the wagon. So because of the sneeze of the Bach, the Kalayim, the wagon went ahead. So the Bach, even though it was done totally unintentionally, but indirectly, he caused the wagon to go with the donkey and the ox. And because of that, they said in Shemayim, the Bach has to pass by Gehenim. He has to be over al Pesach Shel Gehenim to go by. And while he went by, he was able to save some of the neshamas. The Rishon said over, and this Maisa, that's the Pshat Mataras HaTameim. Sometimes a tzaddik has to lower himself. And sometimes a Kadosh Baruch Hu might even bring a tzaddik into a situation where he'll have to lower himself in order to save the Tameim. Okay, that story is a little bit of a Lomas El Yoinim. But it applies to every one of us. A lot of times, we think we're doing a mitzvah, we're too busy, I can't. A person has to know that sometimes the cheshbon is to lower himself. I said this over many times, but I think it fits in very nicely. So years ago, I once was late for yeshiva, and I was drove my wife to work. I was late to yeshiva. I was ready to drive to yeshiva. Somebody comes running over and asks me for a ride. Okay, where does he have to go? Totally out of the way. I don't remember exactly where he had to go. And I said to myself, okay, let's see. I'm late for yeshiva. The chavrus is waiting. I have to go learn. Every cheshbon, why I should say no. And he's looking at me, he needs a ride. Okay. I said, okay, I'll take you. No, the extra few minutes, I'll take you. Comes into the car, And he asked me the following question. The Gemara said, if a person does an Aveiro, should be a fashrish, a person has an Einish, be a fashrish for myself. Search his Meisim, see what brought on the Einish. Why was he being punished? Search his Meisim, and he could hopefully find Mida Kenegan Mida, the punishment relating to the Aveiro. Says the Gemara, if he searches his Meisim, and he doesn't find the Aveiro, he doesn't find the Aveiro that he did, what should he do? Says the Gemara, Yitzka Bebitl Taira. Bitaira, the Einish, because of the Aveiro of Bitl Taira. So he said to me, Hashem the Gerer Rebbe, he asked, what's Pshat in the Gemara? He just was a fascist from Meisim. He just searched all his Meisim. He didn't find any Aveiro. That means there was no Aveiro of Bitl Taira at all. No Aveiro of Bitl Taira. Says the Gemara, if he doesn't find any Aveiro, say it's Bitl Taira. But there was no Bitl Taira. He just searched his Meisim. And the Gerer Rebbe answered, you know what it means, Taira of Bitl Taira? It doesn't mean that Aveiro of not learning. It means all the times that he used Bitl Taira as the excuse not to do somebody else a favor. All the times, Bitl Taira, sorry, I can't help you right now, I have to go learn, I can't help you, I'm here. All the times that he used Bitl Taira for the excuse not to do somebody else a favor. Bitaira Bitl Taira. A person has to be careful. There are times where Bitl Taira is a legitimate reason. A person who's learning is not supposed to stop learning. But there are times where a person has to know that he has to sometimes lower himself in order to be able to help somebody else. Metaris atameim, metaris atayim. Just want to end off, the Yisoscha brings down from the Rebbe Reb Zisha. Sometimes there's the Gezeira Chas V'Shalom against Klal Yisrael. In Shema, the Mekatreg is prosecuting. And the Kodesh Baruch Hu wants to save Klal Yisrael. And the Mekatreg says that Kodesh Baruch Hu, but B'nai Yisrael doesn't have enough Schusim. What right do you have to save them? What reason do you have to save B'nai Yisrael? And the Kodesh Baruch Hu answers the Mekatreg, just like Klal Yisrael does my Chukim without a reason. They do my mitzvahs without understanding, without a reason. Even though they don't understand the reason, they do it anyway. Midah keneged midah, I could say B'nai Yisrael without a reason also, without a tam also. So we do chukim. It comes back midah keneged midah. We'll hold it up before Rosh Chodesh Nissan. Next week is Pashas Chodesh, Shabbos Mevorachim, Pashas Parah this week, Inyan being Matar. Hopefully we'll be Matar ourselves, Mishas Zaycheh this year, to be able to bring the Chorban Pesach, the Beis HaMikdash, Meherev Yemeinu, Amen.